what's going on? You're not really listening. You're not focusing. You've got to, so you got to stay close. You've got to adjust the antennas, and then you've got to develop your hearing. You remember the writer of Hebrews? He said, I've told you a lot of stuff, and I've got a lot more to tell you, but I can't because you are dull of hearing. You've got to develop your hearing. Just like you can develop your physical body by training and exercise, you can do the same thing in the spiritual realm. You can develop your hearing. I could say a lot more about that, but let's move on. A final thing is you need to sometimes just create an atmosphere. You want to hear from God more, create an atmosphere. You ever want to visit with somebody and you'll say, hey, let's go to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee. I said Starbucks, didn't I? I meant $4. Because that's about what a cup of coffee costs. The ones I drink, it's $4. I had one last night. $4. I remember when Starbucks first came around and they were selling $4 coffee, and I thought, this will never work. It's working. I've stood in line to get $4 coffee. I know some of you are thinking, that's ridiculous. Why, what are you doing? I know, but I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't eat too much ice cream. That's my vice. But sometimes you'll say, let's go there. Why do you want to go there? It's about atmosphere. Sometimes you go to a certain place, and you know, if you want to have a serious conversation with your spouse or with your kids, you'll it's not just while the TV, you turn the TV off, you create an atmosphere that's more conducive for communication. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, I love this phrase. It says, while they were worshiping and fasting, the Spirit said, there was an atmosphere that was created, and the Spirit spoke in that atmosphere. Some of you, you know what this is all about, because when we come here and praise and worship begins to kick off, I'll speak for me. I've been here dry all week long. Is it okay for preachers to be dry sometimes? Four of you think so, good. You're my four favorite people. Yeah, and so you've been dry all week, and it's like, God, and the fact of the matter is, you've probably just been busy and haven't slowed down, and then you get here to church, and the good Father comes on. I love that song. And I am loved by you, and it just, there's an anointing and a presence, and all of a sudden, you begin to hear God affirm things, and it's like, wow, I'm hearing from God again. Yeah, he's been speaking the whole time. But now you're in an atmosphere that is conducive to hearing him. The number one key to hearing from God more, my take, is you've just got to make time for him. We live in a very busy, rushed, hurried world. And it doesn't matter how fast technology goes or how fast you can microwave your food, how much time you save doing this and this, there's always something else to do. And once you get everything else done, then you can always check your social media. There's just so much to do. And, you know, if you were to fly across this country in a plane, you'd get there quicker, but you miss a lot of stuff. If you go across on a train, you're going to see a little bit more. If you'd go in a car, you'll see even more. And if you were to walk, it'd take you a long time. But you'd see a lot of details, wouldn't you? Whenever we live a hurried life and we don't pause and make time to have conversation with God and hear from God, whenever we live that hurried life constantly, we're going to be giving God the leftover change, the spare change of our moments. And then when we pray, it's go, oh, God, speak to me, better hurry. I like the conveniences of fast food and fast this and fast that. And I've even found myself frustrated with the internet because it took 3 seconds to come up. But you can't rush relationships. Your vertical relationship with your father, your horizontal relationships with your wife, your husband, your kids, your friends. Relationships take time. They got to be developed. So what if you're doing all of this? You're making time. You're staying close. You're developing your hearing. You're creating atmosphere, but yet you still don't seem to hear from God. That's where I really want to kind of focus. Psalm 22, verse 2. The psalmist said this. Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, and I find no relief. Every day, every night, I am praying, I am calling to you, but you're not listening, you're not speaking, you're not delivering me, it's not getting any better. this is kind of where I want to focus this morning. And I'm going to give you, I told you we're going to kind of teach a little bit. I'm going to give you five practical things that you can do whenever you don't seem to be hearing God's voice. But let me give you just a little pre-point before all of that. If God seems silent to you, you need to understand, first of all, that silence doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem. Just because you're not hearing from God doesn't mean that there's a problem with you, with your relationship. It could, but it's not an automatic. I'm not hearing from God, there's a problem. No. Mature relationships don't always require a lot of words. Anybody here been married 2 years, 3 years, less? Man, y'all are all a bunch of old married people. Okay, go back in your mind then when you're married just a few years. You know how it is. You've been married just a little while. Maybe you're dating, and sometimes men, we're just in a mood of just want to be quiet a little bit, right? And so you're there, and you've driven, and there's been like 3 solid minutes, and not a word has been spoken. What is she going to say? What's wrong? And what he knows this sermon. What are you going to say? Nothing. Exactly. What's wrong? Nothing. Well, there has to be something wrong. You're not talking. It's silent. It's quiet. There must be something wrong. What are you thinking? Same answer. Nothing. And I want you to know that we men, we do have a category of nothing back here that we like to visit sometimes. Sometimes we really are thinking nothing. We're not that hard to figure out. See, a mature relationship doesn't always need a lot of words. An older couple can sit on the porch out in the cool of the day and drinking a cup of tea, and they might sit there for a good hour rocking along in them chairs. Not a word at all. And neither one is thinking, I wonder what's wrong. They're both very comfortable in the presence of the other. And that's enough. Did you hear that amen? I feel like doing a marriage seminar right now. Sometimes lack of communication can be an indicator of peace and contentment. When completely comfortable with a person, it is possible to sit in a room together and not utter a word. Something else about silence. Silence can be a sign of God's trust. Oswald Chambers wrote, "My Utmost for His Highest," and this is in the book. He says, "When you cannot hear God, you will find that He has trusted you in the most intimate way possible with absolute silence, not a silence of despair, but one of pleasure, because He saw that you could withstand an even bigger revelation." So silence is not always a sure indicator that there's a problem. But it can be. If that silence is accompanied by an unrest, an uneasiness in your own spirit, then there's probably something that needs to be adjusted. Something needs to be tended to. You know, we've got cell phones now, and I don't know about your coverage, but my coverage is not perfect yet. And probably the most 5 common words, the most popular words spoken on cell phones are, "Can you hear me now?" Whenever we can't hear somebody, we run over here. "Can you hear me now?" "No." "Can you hear me now?" "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" You know, an antenna. "Can you hear me now?" "No." What are you doing? You can't hear them, so you're making adjustments in order that you might hear them. If you're not hearing from God and there is an uneasiness and unrest in your spirit, it could be that you need to make an adjustment. So what are some things, some practical things that we can do? Number one, this is what I would do. Number one, I would examine my life. I would do a self-examination. If you're not feeling well physically and you go to the doctor, they're going to do an examination. If you're not feeling well spiritually, something's wrong. Do a self-examination. Psalm 66, verse 18. The psalmist said this, If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, my Lord would not have listened. There's a sin in me that's not confessed, and the Lord is not hearing now. And if the Lord's not hearing me, chances are I'm not going to be hearing Him. So do an examination and begin by asking this question. Is there something in my life that is unpleasing to the Lord? Do I have unconfessed sin? Do I have some... And can I just tell you, the Lord is quick to forgive. True confession, genuine repentance slams the door on sin about that quick. The Lord is not like us. He's not like, well, you said that yesterday. You know, the Lord gave us that 70 times 7 passage, remember? Y'all, math people, 70 times 7, what is that? 490. And that was in a day. Now, if you're sinning 491 times in a day, you're done. No, that whole number thing was just to show you that God is long-suffering and merciful. His mercy is new every day, every morning. And if you'll just confess, God says, good, that's what I want to hear. Let's go forward. I mean, come on, moms and dads. How quick are you to forgive your kids when they are genuine in their repentance? And God's better than us. So examine your life and confess. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Peter tells us that our prayers can be hindered when things aren't right in our marriage. James tells us that wrong motives can be a block. John said this, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. His sheep hear His voice. Listen, you're either a sinner or a saint. I know we're not the Catholic Church, but we believe in sainthood at our place. It's just that we don't believe you have to go through a bunch of hoops and hurdles. Once you come to know Jesus, you are a saint. You're either a sinner or a saint. You're in or you ain't. You're either in Christ or in sin. And once you're in Christ, your position is sure. Now, your condition is always in need of improvement. Even Paul. Man, I want to do this, and I'm not. I shouldn't do that, and I am. Wretched man that I am. Paul's condition was always in need of improvement. The Apostle Paul, your condition is always in need of improvement, but your position is in Christ. Not a big amen there. We'll just keep going. That's the way I do it here. Repentance. Examine your life. That's the first point. Repentance is always a good prayer. For the sinner, repentance establishes relationship. For the saint, repentance restores fellowship. The second thing, after examining your life, something else you can do if you don't seem to be hearing from God as much as you think you should, listen to what God has already said. You're listening for Him to say something. Listen to what He's already spoken. Where can you find what He's already said? Your Bible. That's not just the written word of God. Holy men of old wrote down things as they were spoken to. God spoke to them and they wrote it down. So your Bible, that's things that God has said. This morning, if I brought up a piece of paper and said, hey, I was with your pastor this morning, Pastor Mike Johnson, and he told me to tell you this. And then I read the paper. He's not here. You're not hearing from Him directly, but you're hearing from Him because I have His words written down. God's words have been written down for you. He spoke those words so you can listen to what He's already said. And the way you do that, you read your Bible and then you do what it says. See, the Bible is full of specific answers about what is right and what is wrong. Information about God's character, His intention for us as His children and followers. But the problem is, sometimes we want God to speak to us about a matter that He has already addressed. He's already spoken to that situation, to that matter. If I'm leaving my house, and I've got instructions for my kids, and my wife and I will do this. We'll write things down. We'll type it out. We'll write down our instructions and what we want from them and what they need to do. And then we leave it for them. Now, we're gone. And we always tell them this when we walk out the door. Hey, if you need us, call us. Try not to need us. Because we've written it all down right there. They can read that paper and hear from us even though we're not talking to them directly. We've already written it down. So it could be that God has already addressed the matter that you're wanting Him to speak to you about. Maybe God has already addressed your situation and He's not going to repeat Himself. Your kids ever do that to you? Hey, Dad, can I do this? No. But Dad, can I, you know, if we do it this way, I might answer them again. No, your dad said no. We can't do that because of this and this. But Dad, at this point right here, you know what I'm going to do? Ignore. I'm going silent. I've already addressed you. We're done. I've spoken. You're not wanting to listen. You're just trying to change my mind. I've already addressed the situation. And sometimes we're like praying and wanting God to change His mind about something. I was a youth pastor for about 11 years. Of course, in youth pastor season, that verse about being unequally yoked with unbelievers was a verse that came out a lot. Did you know that that's not just there for a, if you want to follow that verse, go ahead. But if you don't, it's okay. Because we understand that sometimes unbelievers are cute, and that's what we need. We need cute. I'm surprised at the shallowness of a number of believers. I am a follower of Jesus. I love God's word. Ooh, He is cute. Are you saved? I believe in God. Good enough. Might have been the devil. The devil believes in God. See, I done went into youth pastor mode. Oh, let me pray about it. Father, this man over here, this young man, look at him. You made him. And you did one fine job. And he has asked me out. And you know, these church kids, none of them ever pay me any attention. I know he don't go to church, and he says he's not sure if you exist, but what do you think? God, I'm listening. I'm not hearing anything. He's already addressed that. He's already spoken to the situation. That's not the notes. Let's move forward. Examine your life. Listen to what's already been said. Number three, accept God's sovereignty. I think we need to recognize that God can be silent if He wants to. And let me just interject this. I don't think He's as silent as we think. I think most of the time it's not that He's not speaking. I think most of the time it's that we're not hearing. But if God wants to be silent, He is God, and there is no obligation for Him to answer you, inform you, or let you know anything. A.W. Tozer said this, God is absolutely free because no one and no thing can hinder Him or compel Him or stop Him. He is able to do as He pleases always, everywhere, and forever. I want to look at the example of Job. How many of y'all read the book of Job? That is my least favorite book in the Bible to read. It's not a pleasant read. It's a hard read. Job, as you know, went through much suffering in his life, and Job faced the choice. Do I acknowledge the sovereignty of God, or do I reject the sovereignty of God? In response to his suffering, because we don't talk about her much, but Job's wife also went through the same suffering. And what was her response? She suggested to her husband that he should curse God and die. In Job 2:10, Job says this, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? Accepting God's sovereignty, that's what we're talking about here on this third point. Accepting God's sovereignty means trusting God, realizing that He is in control and that He can be trusted even when everything seems to be falling apart. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job said this, though He slay me, I will hope in Him. Bad's going to happen. Even as a believer, even if you become a member at Tree of Life Church, you are not immune. We live in a broken world full of broken people, and you can make all the right choices, and some bonehead over here can pull the wrong lever, and his wrong choice can ripple effect into your life. It happens all the time. Jesus said this, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome it. And when you're in the midst of that trouble, know that God is sovereign, that He hasn't forsaken you, and that He is still on your side working with you. I think of another verse. Nahum 1:7 says that the Lord is good You need to anchor that in your spirit right now. We sing it. He's a good, good Father. And God seems really good when the band's playing and the bills are paid and nobody's in the hospital and you got a job. Woo, God is good. But what happens when a little adversity comes and the band's out of tune or they're not even there? Is he still a good, good Father? Yes. The Lord is good. But life is going to send things your way that's going to cause you to want to question that. And you may not be able to explain it. You may not be able to understand why is this happening. Why, God, why? You may not get an answer, but you just need to anchor it in your heart that I don't understand it, but here's what I do know. God is good. God is good. Everything around me may be bad. Everything going on in my life may seem bad, but God is good. He came to give me life and life more abundantly. Where is this coming from then? Well, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission statement. We just need to know that God is good. And when bad things happen, we're going to have to accept God's sovereignty. And I need to interject this as well. If bad happens, does that mean God caused it? No. Well, did he allow it? Yeah. If it happened, he allowed it. Because nothing happens that he doesn't allow. I like what the late John Osteen said. He was talking about sickness, concerning sickness and disease. He said, God didn't cause it, but he's not going to waste it. He'll use it. He'll use all things for his glory and for your good and for his purpose. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. We're talking about God's sovereignty. There is no command here to listen harder, no command here to pray harder, simply just to know that he is God. When you don't have all the answers, when you're not hearing from heaven, when you don't feel close, when you feel like you've been abandoned, know. Be still and know. You've got to get still. You've got to step. The message says it this way. Step out of the traffic. Get away from the noise and get into a still place and know. God, I don't get it, but here's what I know. You're God. That's all I know right now. You're God. In stillness, in times of stillness, we're reminded of what we know. We know that God is good, but when we get out there in the traffic, we forget things. We know that God provides, but when we lose our job and we're panicked, we forget things. But we go back to a place of stillness, and God visits our heart, and he reminds us of things that we know. And the things that we know, instead of being buried underneath all the noise, they rise to the surface. Faith comes up. Hope comes up. Let's go to the next point. If you're not hearing from God, what do you do? Examine your life, listen to what's already been said, accept God's sovereignty, and number four, keep going. Keep going. Silence from God is not a new direction. Well, I'm not hearing from God much anymore. I'm going to go ahead and get a divorce because I used to hear from him. I'm not hearing from God much. I'm going to leave Trail Life Church. I think I'll probably hear from God for another church. Silence from God is not an indicator that you need to change directions. I want you to consider Noah. A lot of people say it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. I don't think so. I think I can prove with the Word of God it took less than 100, probably a lot less. But I would say this, it took a long time. Now, y'all don't go Googling trying to figure out how long it took Noah to build the ark. Do that later for your homework. But Noah was given instructions by God to build an ark. Pretty specific. He was given dimensions, the type of wood and window and the animals are going to come. I mean, he was giving some very detailed instructions on building this ark. By the way, this ain't just a little fable Bible school children's story. There was a man named Noah, and he built an ark. You saw the movie. Did you see the movie, Jack? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the new one. I refused to go to the theater and give them my money, but when it came to Redbox, I went ahead and invested a dollar. And it was so laughable. Did you know in the movie there's a stowaway? There was the eight, but then there was another guy hit out. You need to get that movie, Jack. It'll enlighten you. Noah was given some specific instructions on building this ark, and it took years to do. I doubt if On day two, God woke Noah up and said, hey, today, keep building the ark. Day three, hey, keep building the ark. Day four, keep building the ark. No, I think God said, build an ark. Here's a plan. Now get after it. Talk to you later. Now, God may have given him a little nudge, a little reminder now and then. I don't know. But I doubt if God just constantly said, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. If I tell my kid to clean the room, I don't go back there every 5 minutes. Hey, keep cleaning. No, go clean the room until you're done. Now, I do give reminders because my youngest daughter is very easily distracted. So when she comes back out, I say, hey, what are you supposed to be doing? Yeah, go back. So I say that to say this. Don't question God's guidance just because it hasn't been reaffirmed lately. If God told you several months back to go north, and now you're going north. What now, God? And you hear nothing. What are you going to do? Keep going north. That's the last instruction you received. Keep doing the last thing until you get the new thing. On the way here, and I'll be honest, this is part of the reason I went through Pflugerville instead of my normal route. My little GPS didn't act right. And plus, I didn't have my wife, my other GPS, with me. Did you see what I did there? See, she's not here. I can do that. And y'all don't have her number. But here's the way my GPS works. Once I punch in the directions, it tells me what to do, and then it does not speak to me again until it's time to shift. It stays silent until there's a turn to be made, or an exit to be made, and then it tells me what to do. So if it doesn't say anything, I just keep doing what it told me to do last. And that's, I treat the GPS and the G-O-D, I kind of treat them that way. God says go this way, I go that way, and I just go that way. You know what? God called me to Pastor Angleton First. It's been 20 years almost. There's been a time or three or nine that I've wanted to step down and do something else. But I didn't hear anything. That's just me feeling stuff. That's just me getting weary and well doing like some of you have done. You can't let your emotions guide you, so I just keep doing. And God, do I keep pastoring here? And he has given me a confirmation a couple of times in the last 20 years, and he may give it again if he sees that I need it. But if I don't hear him say, leave the church, I'm going to keep pastoring the church. Do what he told you to do last. Here in America, though, none of you guys at Tree of Life Church, but them other churches, people, oh, the pastor made me mad. God's telling me to leave. No, he ain't. That's your flesh telling you to leave. That was just freestyle, none of the notes. Final point. Keep praying. Keep going and keep praying. Just because you don't feel like God is talking to you doesn't mean you should stop talking to him. God's silence is not permission for you to turn your back on him. Rather, it's an invitation to press forward and seek him even more diligently. You go back to that psalm I put up at the beginning, Psalm 22, verse 2. Every day I call to you. Every night I lift my voice. The psalmist was not hearing anything back. The silence of God was deafening. But yet, every day he kept praying. Every night he kept praying. So what do you do if you're not hearing from God? You keep going and you keep praying. I want to go back to Job before we land the plane here. 42 chapters in the book of Job. 42. In the very first chapter, Job loses his children and property. It starts out rough. Chapter 2, Job loses his health. Chapter 3, he curses the day he was born and goes on a rant. Now, he didn't curse God, though. His wife said, curse God and die. He didn't curse God, but he did curse the day he was born. Listen, when somebody's going through some hard stuff, maybe stuff you've never been through, don't fault them if they say some things that don't necessarily line up with your belief system. Sometimes it's just a rant and a vent. So in chapter 3, he begins to rant. Chapter 4, his friends step in and begin to give him some advice. chapter 7. See, y'all thought, 42 chapters, how long is it going to go? He's on 4. I'm on chapter 7 now. I skipped 5 and 6. Hang in there. Chapter 7, Job cries out to God. So chapter 1, tragedy. Chapter 2, more tragedy. Chapter 3, he's ranting. Chapter 4, his friends are trying to talk him out of it. Chapter 7, Job cries out to God. Chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job. Job starts praying in chapter 7. The Lord answers in chapter 8. We're talking about keep praying. I don't know how much time went by between chapter 7 and chapter 38. The other day I was reading in Genesis, and Eve had two babies in one verse. You turn the page, and, you know, they've got grandkids. A lot of time can go by when you turn the page in the Bible. So between chapter 7 and 38, I don't know how much time went by, but he started praying in chapter 7, and the Lord answers in chapter 38. I would suggest that Job was praying in chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, and all through the other chapters, lifting his voice by day, lifting his voice by night, and then God answers in 38. If you're not seeming to hear from God, you got to keep praying. So, question. What chapter are you in? If you're going through something, if this message is speaking to you directly, you can say, well, this is nailing me. I don't hear from God. What chapter are you in? Maybe you're in chapter 37 and God's voice is going to be heard pretty soon. Maybe you're in chapter 9 and you've got a ways to go. I don't know. What I do know is that God is not obligated to do anything more than he's already done when he gave us Jesus. I believe he'll speak to his children, but you can't quit on him just because you don't seem to be hearing him. So if you don't seem to be hearing from God, these are just some things that I would suggest to you. Keep going. I think that's a big one right there. Just keep going. I'm volunteering with the children's ministry, and I don't know. I prayed about it, and God didn't say I could get out, but I've been doing it for 2 years. I think it's time. Did God say no? Keep going. Just keep going. Just continue to do whatever God told you to do last. Continue to do that until you hear from God. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I don't know what time you normally get out of here, but today it's about this time. It's about 10 to 12. I think we're doing good. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? On a church of any significant size, like mine or this one here, on any given day, there's always somebody that's just received some great news, and they're up here, and then there's always somebody that things aren't going so well, and they're a little bit down here. I mean, you've got a spectrum of situations always represented in the congregation. But what I'd like to tell you, if you would, just go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes, and put a little keyboard in the background. I want you just to hear me. I want to speak to those that, if you find yourself in a hard place today, if you find yourself in a little bit of a dry place, a difficult challenge, trial, whatever you want to call it. Maybe even close to throwing in the towel on your marriage, on your ministry, on this church, on your life. I don't know. The devil loves to discourage people to the point to where they want to quit. See, God's trying to get you to the finish line, and the devil's trying to get you to the line that says, I'm finished. Whenever you hit a place like where you are right now, I can only see two options. You can take the position of Job, though he slay me, yet will I hope. Or you can take the position of Job's wife. Why don't you just curse God? Trust God or abandon God. Trust God or turn your back on God. Trust God or curse God. Trust God or walk away from God. Those are your two options. And if you should choose to turn your back, to walk away, your situation's still not getting any better. All that did was pull you out of a good place, a place where healing was available. You don't know where God is on the situation. God is working on your behalf, and you don't know what's been going on behind the scenes. You don't know how close you are to your victory. You don't know how close you are to your answer. I would encourage you to press in. I would encourage you to take, just like you did when you stood before the congregation and you got married and you said, I take her, I take him, for better, for worse, richness, poorness, sickness, health. Those aren't multiple choice. That's you saying, it doesn't matter if things are good or things are bad. My commitment to her doesn't rest upon the conditions of going on around me. Same thing when you take Jesus. It's not, I take Jesus as long as everything stays good. No, I accept Jesus for better, for worse. With heads bowed and eyes closed and hands up of anybody that just needs prayer, you're in a difficult place. I want to pray for you first this morning. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. Just hold it up. Hold it up. Good. All right. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, church, just agree with me in prayer for your brothers and sisters that are going through some tough times. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift up these that lifted up their hands. I pray for these, Father, that find themselves in a difficult place, a place of dryness, a place of challenge, a place of maybe feeling like you have walked out on them. God, we know that's not the case. You said you would never leave us or forsake us, but sometimes, because of our situation, we're here and we're separated from maybe our friends because of a thing or two, or maybe even our spouse doesn't understand us, and we feel like we're all by ourselves. Father, I pray right now for that person that they would sense your nearness. In this moment right here, while we are still and waiting before you, God wants you to know that He has not abandoned you. That He is faithful, that He is true to His word. In the Bible, we turn the page and all of a sudden, the problem is solved. But here, we live one day at a time, one moment at a time. It is crucial and necessary that you continue to create that atmosphere in which you can spend time with the Lord. Create that atmosphere that's conducive to conversation. Sometimes we define our quiet time. We got to get up at 4 in the morning and have an hour of this, an hour of that, and or it doesn't count. Forget all of that. Forget all of the religious formulas. And sometimes my quiet time might be just me getting up, sitting on the end of the couch, opening my Bible, reading one verse, and then weeping the rest of the time that I have. Just get before Him by yourself, you and Him, and just pour out your heart. Vomit out the stuff that's just on the inside and let Him love on you. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. While your heads are still bowed, eyes closed, I just want to make sure I don't know you. Is there anybody here today? You just need to say yes to Jesus. I'm not suggesting that you're a bad person. Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, when we think of good people, and we think of them, right? They needed forgiveness of sin. Everybody needs it. on your best day, you fall short of the glory of God. Preachers need Jesus. It's not just for bad people. Bad people need Jesus. Good people are okay. No, your goodness is not enough. You have to have your sins forgiven. And Jesus died on the cross, spilled his blood so that could be possible. It's not about good and bad. It's about lost and saved. Is there anybody here today? I'm not even going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to ask somebody to come stand beside you, put a hand on your shoulder, and we're going to pray what we call a sinner's prayer. Anybody today? Today would be a great day to say yes to Jesus. You? Couple right here? I don't know these ladies. Jack, you probably do. You can just have a lady go stand there. And I understand maybe they've been here for a long time. I understand that. I pastor a church and have done so for a long time. Anybody here today? Today is a great day for restoration, repentance. And just, you know what? I've been blowing it all week long. Today, I make a decision to start over. God is very good about starting over. I have started over so many times in my life, in my journey with Jesus. No, I haven't gone and robbed a bank or killed anybody, but I wanted to. You know, Jesus said, if you want to kill somebody, then you're guilty too. Somebody cut me off in traffic. Hey, I don't like you. Oh, that ain't what Jesus would do. Anybody today just need to make things right? You'll feel better. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you same time. Good. Right there. Anybody else? Right there. Good. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for salvation. And God, I thank you for restoration. Lord, I thank you that once we've given our life to you, we are in Christ, and you see us as if we've never sinned, but yet we live in this flesh, we live in this broken body, this broken world, and we have our struggles, we have our challenges. And sometimes we fail to crucify the flesh. Sometimes we fail to take thoughts captives. Sometimes we let our behavior get the best of us, our mood. Father, forgive us in Jesus' name. Father, for these that raise their hands, I thank you that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can consider yourself cleansed even before I started praying. As soon as you raised your hand, God saw your heart, and he's quicker than I am. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Father, right now, in closing, I pray blessing upon Tree of Life Church. I pray your favor. I pray your blessing and favor upon Mike and Cheryl Johnson, upon Jack and the leadership team here at Tree of Life Church. God, I pray that you give wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I pray that you order steps, and I pray that you are glorified through this assembly, through this congregation. Father, work in this church, work through this church for your glory and for the good of this community. I pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. The church says amen and amen. Would you give Jesus a good hand clap? Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you all for allowing me to come. Gives my church a break for me a break for them, and it's just good to be here. Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Hallelujah. It's good to receive instruction in the Lord. Amen. We're going to take up a love offering, so if you guys would pass out the envelope.